And what God would do for us depends on how we yield to Him. But I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are some things that God wants to do, even in this place. As the brother stood, even at the close of a prayer, and said that God would do things for us, and especially in the area of those who had problems with backs. And we know that God can. Matter of fact, we're believing that He has. And also, we know that there is many areas that God would work in. And I'm glad that I know Him like that. So, I trust that I don't let you down tonight. I want to minister, however God leads us to minister. But when I leave this place, I want God to be glorified for everything that's done. You can be seated. We do appreciate all of you that are here for your pastor inviting us to speak tonight. And I thought, sometimes people want a position that really merits praise, and they think that the greatest position they could have would be maybe on the front. Brother Odom, one place I preached after I had finished preaching that first night, we started out the door, and there was a little thin, tall lady walked up to me and said, "Brother Bourne, if you don't mind, I'd like to take your shoes and shine them." I looked down and said, "Are they that bad?" And the pastor said, "That's all right. Go ahead, let her shine your shoes." And every night of that revival, she shined my shoes. When service was over, she said, "If you just set them outside your room, I'll have them shined when you get up the next morning." And I asked the pastor about it. He said, "Well, Brother Bourne, she doesn't ask for a big show or something to do in the church. She said she just wants to do that job. Every preacher, myself, every service, my shoes are shined, sparkling, new almost." And said that's what she likes to do for the ministry. And I thought that it's not a whole lot, and it's not many people would take that. Matter of fact, it would be a slap in some's face to have to shine somebody's shoes. But that little lady, one night after about 6 weeks of revival, come up to me and she said, "Brother Bourne, I've got this big cyst in my neck, and it's been there for quite some time. And you've talked on faith for 6 weeks, and some way if I could just believe God." And on a Sunday morning, after 5 weeks, I believe it was, this little lady was sitting in the Sunday school. We were preaching, and all of a sudden she jumped up and she started screaming, and I stopped. I was just taken back by it. And when she finally calmed down, the pastor said, "What in the world is wrong?" She said, "That cyst is gone since service started. Big growth here on her neck." And while the ministering was going on, somehow faith grew in her heart. And that thing just vanished and was not there anymore. And, you know, in times like that, God helps us to believe. And I tell these things for the glory of God. It was in that same service that a man sitting on the front seat, after service was over, I was walking back, and he said, "Brother Bourne, for 25 years, I have not had a day's rest from my back. 25 years. He said, "Matter of fact, he said, I cannot even tie my shoes in the morning. My back is so bad. He said, my wife has to help me when I start to get up to go to work in the morning, even to get my pants and to tie my shoes and to help me put my pants on." And I said, "Well, brother, it's just as simple as Jesus' name." And I just reached around, touched him on the back and on the stomach, and I said, "I curse you, back problem, in Jesus' name," and walked off. And he said, "Well, Brother Bourne, if it's that simple, it ought to be done." And I was back in the Lake Charles area a few months after that, maybe 3 months. And I saw this brother, and I walked up to him. I said, "Brother, I have not heard how your back has been. He said, Brother Bourne, I thought you had heard. He said, I have not had another pain since that moment. He said, I'm working harder than I've ever worked in my life. And he said, I want you to know that God touched me in that instant, and the pain left, and I have not had one other pain, not one. And I'm here to report to you tonight that that's the kind of God that I'm serving. Oh, he's not short on his power to do that or anything else. And a revival in Biloxi, I forget, it's been maybe 18 months ago. We had preached, and the Spirit of the Lord had moved, and the lights was already turned out except a few in the back of the building. And I was walking towards the door, and a couple walked up to me, and they were weeping. I thought, well, something's done happened. There's been a bad accident. And they were just sobbing. They said, Brother Bourne, and I said, what's wrong? They said, you preached tonight, you preached a message, and it stirred our hearts. And we were on our way home, and we were discussing a problem that we had, financial problem, and we decided to come back to the church and catch you before you left, and to ask you to help us pray about this. And I said, well, what is it? And this lady started telling me. She said, I was working for a company here on the coast, had been for 14 years. They experienced financial problems, and this particular thing, I had confidence that everything was all right, and I loaned them our life savings for their payroll 1 week, and said, then they went bankrupt. And said, that's been 4 years ago. And the man told me that if he could sell his land, which was 13 or 14 acres of waterfront property on the beach, that he would pay me. He said, there's been real estate signs there. There has been no inquiries. Land on the beach is very, very high, and he just can't sell it. We have experienced recession, and many businesses have closed. But said, the man told me, says, if I ever sell, I'll pay you first. And said, we just come back to the church to see if God could hear us tonight. Said, the money is not everything, but it was all that we had. And it was several thousand dollars. And I stopped, and all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord moved on me. And I said, wait, I see it. I said, I see an old man getting in a Rolls Royce in New York City right now. I said, he's going to drive down the East Coast, come on Highway 90 and cross the Ocean Springs Bridge. And we cross that Ocean Springs Bridge into Biloxi. He's going to see that sign, and he's going to stop and write down the telephone number. And he's going to call the real estate agent and say, I want that land. And I said, and he's going to buy it. And I said, now, this is Sunday, I believe it was Sunday, and I said, by Thursday, the deal will be closed, and the man will call you Thursday morning and tell you to come pick up your money. And boy, they just fell down on the floor and just started worshiping the Lord, and they were weeping, and they said, Brother Bourne, how's it going to happen? I said, an old man is getting in a Rolls Royce in New York City right now. And I said, he's got more money than he's got sense. And I said, he's going to like that property when he sees it, and he's going to buy it. Hallelujah. Wednesday afternoon, there was a Rolls Royce across the Ocean Springs Bridge into Biloxi. And it pulled over by that property, and he said, I think I'm going to buy this property. And he called the real estate agent with a telephone number and bought that property. And Thursday, that man called this young couple in the church and said, hey, I've got your money. And not only that, I'm going to pay you interest on it for those 4 years that I've been holding it. Now, do you think that little couple wasn't happy? Now, someone said, Brother Bourne, you stepped out on a limb when you told them that. No, I stepped out on the promises of Almighty God who spoke to me those identical words. And I'll tell you something more. God will hear you tonight. It don't have to be a rich old man coming out of New York City in a Rolls Royce. All God has to do is open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you can't contain. And I know this, and I have experienced it time and time again. If we could understand that God sits on the throne and He is not deaf, that He cannot hear His children when they speak. And I believe with all of my heart that God would do beyond your expectations in this service tonight. Some of you are looking at me like a tree full of owls. But I'm going to tell you, God is not deaf. He's got the power to do all of these things that we're talking about. And time will not permit me to tell you what all He will do. Praise God. You know, I've got to preach and I've got a good ways to drive tonight. So I guess I may have the furthest to drive after the service. So if I take my time and preach about 30 minutes, 30 minutes longer than you're expecting me, maybe. I don't know. I haven't preached an hour this year. That's unusual for me. I preached 59 minutes several times, and I just shut it off. I doubt if I do it tonight. But I do have a message that I feel that God spoke to me about for tonight. Somehow in this service, I cannot get away from the fact that God wants to do for you what you'll believe Him for. The sky is the limit. It all belongs to Him. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I was in the Houston area in Highlands, Texas, preaching. And I was preaching along one night, and there was a big, tall brother sitting back there. I can't even remember his name. And the Holy Ghost spoke to him and told me that the Lord wanted to bless him. And I just pointed at him, told him to come up to the front. And I said, "Brother, I don't know what you do. I don't know if you're employed or unemployed or what kind of work you do." I said, "But the Lord wants to bless you." He said, "Well, I am a contractor. I've got had a lot of work." He said, "Right now I don't have any work." I said, "Well, that's what it is. The Lord told me He was going to give you $1 million worth of contracts this week." Boy, he looked at me and he shook his head. He said, "Brother Bourne," he said, "I'm not that big." I said, "Well, do you want to be that big?" Now, that's not much to some, but it'd be a good bit to me. It'd be a good bit to a lot of you. He said, "How's this going to come about?" I said, "Well, the Lord spoke to me and told me that He was going to give you." I said, "As a matter of fact, in the morning, a man will come see you, and he's got a contract. When you figure it up, it'll be $177,000, and that'll start it off." And so he said, "Okay, here we go." The next day, a man come to his house, and he began to figure this job, and when he got it all totaled up, it was $177,000. He said, "This is it, God." And he got it. And 6 days later, we was in service every night. He come to me on that 6th day, said, "Brother Bourne," he said, "I've got contracts in my hand totaling $997,000 this week." And he said, "It's not over." Well, that's little to God. And all you might need is just enough to buy groceries.
Why, Benny Holland, Daniel's wife, I hope I expressed this the way she expressed it to me some time ago. I had preached faith there in Biloxi, and she went home one night, and she didn't have money. Chickens was on sale down at Kroger's. She said, Brother Bourne said, if we would exercise our faith, she said, I'm going to buy chickens today. And she didn't even have no money. She pulled up in the Kroger's parking lot, and she said, Lord, I'm going to sit right here till you bless me. I won't leave. And I'm going to buy some of them chickens. I'm going to put them in my deep freeze today. I won't leave until you bless me. And she sat there in a car, and people drive up by her, and then they'd leave. And she just kept on praying, God, here I am. Now I'm exercising my faith, and you're going to bless me. After a while, she got to crying, and windows began to fog up, and cloud come up, and it began to rain. Wind began to blow. People walking by and thinking she had lost her mind. There she sat. After a while, she saw something come blowing across the parking lot. And she wiped the tears out of her eyes and rolled down the window and looked, and it just kept on flopping towards her car. And it got right up beside her car, and it just laid down flat in the water, and it was a $20 bill. She reached out and picked it up, and in the store she went. She said, God, I told you I was going to stay here till you bless me. Now, that's little. But can we believe God for a little thing or a big thing? In the eyes of God, it really don't matter. It's just, can you exercise yourself? Well, let me preach a little bit then. Maybe this will excite you. You say, is this the way you preach? Most of the time. Amen. We stay in revival. We preached about 600 times in the last 2.5 years. Matter of fact, close to 700 now. Almost every night of the year. And God blesses. We've seen the dead raised sitting on the pew. The ambulance was backed up to the door. God raised them up and they had to take the ambulance back to the place. Right there in Melville, Louisiana. Amen. Eyes crossed that were uncrossed. Well, let's go to the Word for a little bit. In the book of Joshua, chapter 17. Let me tell this. Brother Dunaway's brother, yeah, he's here. Brother Watts Dunaway, a few years ago, your brother, he come to me out there in the country and he said, Brother Bourne, my crops or my ryegrass is burning up. There's no rain. There hasn't been any rain. He said, I believe it was an 80-acre field out to the north of his house. He said, if I don't get some rain on that field, he said, I'm going to lose it. He said, I need it for my dairy. And I said, well, when do you want it, Brother Dunaway? And he said, well, I needed it a week ago. I said, well, I'll tell you what you do, Brother Dunaway. I said, you go to your house and eat dinner. And I said, then get your umbrella. And walk down in the field where you got that ryegrass planted. And I said, when you get out there, you just stand there by the barbed wire fence and wait because it's going to rain. He walked over to the window of the church and he said, Brother Bourne, come here. I walked over the window and he said, there's not a cloud in the sky. I said, there don't have to be no clouds for God to rain. I said, God will get you a cloud there when it's time. I said, now you do what I'm telling you. You take an umbrella or don't take one. Take your boots if you don't want to wade in the mud. But if you don't care, just walk back there and wait. He said, that night at church, he testified, he says, I went home and ate dinner. It was hot, 100 degrees. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And he said, I walked back across that field, back to the back, and I can't remember whose property joined there on the back. But he said, I stood there and I waited, and I said, Brother Bourne told me to wait here. And he said, I don't see a cloud nowhere. And he said, if it's going to rain, it's going to rain on a clear day. And he said, all of a sudden from the west, he saw a little cloud blowing as if it was going 40 or 50 miles an hour, coming straight toward him. And said, that little bitty cloud, said it wasn't very much, said it got right straight overhead and stopped and just began to spread out. And he said, and all of a sudden it turned loose. And he said, I was leaning up against the fence, and had I not been there, I would not have believed it. He said, I watched, and there was not one drop went over that fence. Four-strand barbed wire. And he said, I had to wade through the mud going back across that field to my house without an umbrella. If it's not true, he's the one who told it. Hallelujah. Well, I believe it. Hallelujah. I feel good. In the book of Joshua, chapter 17 and verse 14. And the children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why hast thou given us but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord has blessed me hitherto, and Joshua answered them, if thou be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites, of the giants, and if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they which are in Bethshan and her towns, and they who are in the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua said unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only, but the mountain shall be thine. I want to preach from that subject. This time, you gave me a mountain. I want you to say that with me. This time, you gave me a mountain. You can be seated. Some people are satisfied, and this is no way a knock or a slam at where you might live or the condition by which you are living today. But some people are satisfied to live in a shack over the tracks. And that's an old expression. Some people are satisfied with a 50 by 50 lot with a small house built on it. And some people are satisfied if they got them a mobile home on them a little lot and just skimming by, making it from week to week. That's their world. But I found some boys in the Bible, Ephraim and Manasseh, the sons of Joseph. The Bible says when they got over into the land of promise, when Joshua was dividing up the land, he gave these boys a portion, and when he gave them this portion of land, they come back to him and they says, Joshua, we appreciate what you've done. We want you to know it is really a blessing that you've given us. But said, this lot's just not enough. Now, we appreciate it, but a lot. I'm not going to be stuck. You know, I've got a house, and I've got a fence around it, and I've got me three rows of potatoes. It's just not enough. He said, well, if that lot is not enough, I'll give you that hill. He said, that's too narrow. He said, well, what do you want? There's a mountain up there, but says there's giants on it. And they're riding in iron chariots up and down the side of that mountain. And says, if you are a great people like you say you are, and you're not satisfied with a lot or a hill, take that mountain. Hallelujah. If you're satisfied to sit down in your little world, Mike, I'm preaching to you. If you're satisfied to have just
just to come to church and be blessed on a Sunday night and then coast all the way through the next week, and maybe you get a blessing the following week and maybe you can make it 2 weeks, go ahead. If you're satisfied to have just a lot with three rows of onions, no potatoes, not room enough to park your car on, you got to park in the street, you go ahead. But I'm not going to settle for a lot when I've got all the promises in the book. Well, here I am. I'm bowed down in sickness, and I don't know if I can make it. I guess this is what the Lord really wanted from me. If that's what you're satisfied with, that's all you'll ever have. But the sons of Joseph says, we are not satisfied with just a lot. Well, you've heard the expression, well, this is just my lot in life. This is all I'll ever have. I never expect to have anything else. I believe that what I need from God is mine if I can just step out and get a hold of it. And if I'm going to be satisfied to walk around through this world all stooped over in sickness and disease and problems and anxieties, I wonder how much more can I have if I would say, hey, God, I'm tired of living on a little 50 by 50 square. I'm stepping out into a new world. It's going to be different from this day forward. I'm tired of just bringing me and my wife to church or myself to church or my family. I'm going to go out and bring somebody else in. Yes, sir, there's giants out there in the world. I realize that. And I know that they're riding in big iron cars. You drive your Volkswagen or Peugeot or whatever else you're driving. The Bible says these giants was driving iron chariots. It wasn't long, someone looked, and here come Ephraim riding up the road in an iron chariot. They said, where did you get that? Now, giant, one of those 10-foot giants that lived in that land, they wouldn't be riding around in a three-wheeler. They'd have to have a four-wheeler or a six-wheeler, something to carry. You know, I saw a picture of Wilt Chamberlain standing beside a Volkswagen. He said, it's impossible. There was no way for him to get in it. They took the front seat out, and he sat in the back. And his knees were sticking all the way up to the headboard. His head was stuck out the window. He said, there's no way. You got to have something for a man. Come on now. Some of you's already jumped off the ship, and I hadn't even set sail yet. Hallelujah. I look around, and I see people that are going through life. Absolutely. You can see the frown on their face before you get to them because they've hemmed themselves in and they put up a high chain link fence. This is my lot. I'll live on it. Don't bother me. I know that this is what I got to go through. I'm telling you something, my friend. You can go back to the man who's dividing up. Hallelujah. Joshua, I know it's in your power. And I know that you give me this lot. And I'm not complaining. I just know we're a greater people than that. There's no sense in us sitting back and not having revival in Columbia. It's a revival that should be ours. And if we're satisfied not to have it, we can go on through life and never have anything for ourselves. This time, you gave me a mountain. What is a mountain anyway? The Bible tells us, or in the Scripture, it's symbolic of a kingdom. Daniel described it in one place where he says, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain, and it filled all the earth. Hallelujah. And sometimes we go through anxieties and problems and things that will bring us low. Or we might even come to a point in our life that we feel that we are so hemmed up that there is absolutely no way out. But I'm here to tell you, sometimes you got to break out. Sometimes you got to climb out. You might have to dig out. But you got to get back to Joshua and say, hey, boy, the lot's not enough. He might at that point say, well, I'll give you a little hill. You say, that's too narrow. Man, I want a place where I can stretch out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Several years ago, Sister Bourne, I said, Daddy, I said, if we can ever build a house, I want to build. I said, well, Sister, you draw the plans just like you want it. If we can build it, we'll build it. So she sat down and she drew off a living room. She said, by the living room, you got to have a kitchen. And she started going, and she did not know anything about perception, about the size. And I said, well, I got me a big old piece of paper. I knew it was going to take a big one. And I said, how big do you want this room? She told me how big she wanted it. And then she wanted the game room and the playroom and the sewing room and toy room. And she began, when I got through, I said, are you ready for this? It was going to be something like 170 feet across the front, about 90 feet deep. And I said, there ain't no way. Never, 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 never. Well, maybe we could cut it down a little. I said, where do you want to cut? Well, I don't want to cut this room. We can't afford to cut this one. I said, it's going to have to be this way. That's right. Hallelujah. So, one night before I left Pine Grove, I woke up one morning. I said, Sister, I said, we're going to get that house. She said, how? I said, I had a dream last night that I was working on this house and had all of these rooms just like you was talking about. We were doing our final decorations. And then time passed, and one day I was there in Macomb, and I was talking to a real estate agent, and I said, I'm looking for a house that needs a lot of work. I don't have any money, but I said, something I can do the work on. And he said, well, just how much work would you like to do? I said, all of it. And he said, come here, preacher. Walked over the window. He said, what about that one? I said, that's it. And I hadn't even noticed the house. And I walked over and I said, well, could I see it? And so he got a key and we walked in. I said, I want to sign the papers on it right now. He said, you mean now? I said, yeah. I said, do you sell houses or do you not? Yeah, I sell houses, but I ain't never sold one like this. I said, well, do you want to sell it? He said, yeah, I want to sell it. I said, well, draw up the papers. I want to buy it. He said, why are you so fast about buying this thing? I said, because it's the house I want. You said you had a house for sale. I want to buy it. Draw up the papers. That's final. 52 windows broke out. The top was rotten in. Had no one lived in it in 13 years. We killed 14 snakes in the yard before we got the yard mowed. It was rough. It was rough. Church folks come over and looked at it and said, you've lost your mind. I said, well, maybe I have. And we worked. And we worked. And we worked. And about 9 months later, we moved in it. And those same people come back and said, you know, this wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was. What I'm saying is, you can have a little or you can have a lot. It depends on what kind of price you want to pay for it. I'm telling you, I can have something from God because God told me He'd give it to me. Hallelujah. A couple of years ago, in desperation, the taste of food left my body. I said, I'll not eat another bite till I hear from God. And I was working on a job, and it looked like the whole world had collapsed around me. And I come to a point, I said, I won't eat. Someone said, you're going to die. I said, if I die, I'll die a slow death because I'm dying one anyway. Hallelujah. Whether I eat or whether I don't eat, I'm dying. Hallelujah. On the 14th day, with no food, and I'm not saying this to lift myself, I was laying on my face in my office and I said, God, I asked you for financial help and you gave it to me.
I've got more work than I can actually handle. I don't want this. The Lord spoke to me and says, I'd give you anything you ask for. You just ask for some work. And says, I'll give it to you. If you'll ask me for anything else, I'll give you that. And I set up. I said, God, I used to preach out a lot. I was just talking to the Lord. You know, that's the way I talk to Him. I set up right there in the middle of my office floor, and I said, God, I used to preach out a lot. And I said, I haven't had anybody to call me in the last couple of years to preach. I said, if you'll let someone just call me. And I got the phone. I set it down there. I said, Lord, if you'll just let someone call me, I'll go wherever you open the door. I said, there's a phone. And it started ringing. I picked it up. This brother said, Brother Bourne, I was just in my office praying, and the Lord told me to call you. Could you come preach for me? I said, I'll be there. I hung up the phone, and the minute it hit the receiver, the phone started ringing. I picked it up, and this brother said, Brother Bourne, I was just praying, and the Lord told me to call you. Will you come preach for me? Before I was finished, I had 9 revivals lined up. Straight in a row. Pick up and hang up. After a while, I was on my feet. I said, it's fixing to ring again. And it started ringing. I grabbed. I said, I'll be there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you can sit on a lot or you can climb a mountain. You can sit with nothing or you can have everything. I'm here to tell you, God can give you everything. Is there one with a longer cord than this? Thank you, brother. What do you need? I don't know. I don't know how Brother Odom preaches. It's been a long time since I heard Brother Odom preach. But this is the way I do. Is that the way y'all do? Hallelujah. Now, is that your little lot? Or do you want to broaden it out to take care of a family? Hallelujah. Are you satisfied, Brother Owens? What's your name? Chuck. That's what I'm trying to think of. Are you satisfied with just coming to church and once in a while worshiping a little bit? Or is there some vast area that you want to cover in your spiritual life? Hallelujah. I'm talking about living on a lot. Or crying, God, give me that mountain. Hallelujah. I know what God wants to do. I feel it down inside me, and it's almost like a well that's bubbling over even at this moment. Hallelujah. This time you gave me a mountain. Hallelujah. I know what God wants to do. I went to that first meeting that God gave me, and I preached for 4 weeks, and there was not a break. Seemed like nothing was happening. Heaven was brass, and we bombarded away. And it looked like it would never come. And we just kept on. And all of a sudden it broke. Hallelujah. And 40 people got the Holy Ghost the next week. And God raised the dead. God furnished jobs. God began to do. Let me tell you, I'm not satisfied with living on just a little bitty area and being fixed. And I've got to have the open places. Hallelujah. I guess I'm just that much country boy. I don't want to be fenced in to sit it out. I want to get out where I can see something happening. Hallelujah. Who's that coming yonder? Oh, that's Ephraim. Him and Manasseh dragging up and down that mountain. And them iron chariots. Oh, all of us are just riding on a mule. Them boys that got up on that mountain took them cars away from them giants. Man, don't they look little sitting up on them big things? This time you gave me a mountain. Jonathan, just how big of an area do you want to cover? Big. big.
Well, I've got this. I've got my room. You go home and close the door and turn on your stereo. This is your world.
Or you can walk out of there and say, Daddy, I'm fixing to cover some more ground. Hallelujah. I'm fixing to go somewhere. Ain't nothing going to hold me down. When I get to church tonight, Brother Odom may not call on me, but he'll know I'm there before it's over. He may never recognize me as any leader in this church, and I may not have leadership ability. But when that service is over, God's going to know I've been there. Because I'm going to call on His name all the way from the prayer room to the altar. When I walk out of there, I may not play an instrument. I may not be able to play anything from the organ all the way across to the pen. But I tell you what, I'm going to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and I'm going to lift up my voice. I'm not going to sit there on that pew and dry up and blow away. I'm going to expand myself out into the service. I'll get up and I'll say, if I can't feel it here, I'll move over here where I can feel it. Hallelujah. I'll find somewhere on my property that I can find God. Brother Bourne, can you preach right up here? I sure can. I can preach without moving. But I like to move. I can preach very quiet, too. I can preach. You can be seated. It might be on Mount Carmel where we meet the false prophets. Or it could be on Mount Ebal, where we study the law. We might be up on Mount Ephraim, where we say the lot's not big enough. Or we could be over to Mount Moriah, when we know it's a time to build. It could be over at Pisgah, where Moses viewed the promised land, but never got there. Or it could be that we're satisfied just to stay right where we're at. Moses looked over and the Lord says, I want you to look at it. You're not going to be able to go, but I wanted you to see it. Hallelujah. I'd hate to know that I got in view of a revival, Brother Odom. And I'd have to stand there and say, is that it? And I can't reach it. Oh God, just let me put one foot down and bring it back. Let me feel that revival. No, I believe that there's a revival in this church. And I believe that the vastness of this church can step out into that revival, Brother Tim, and say, oh, I feel it. Everywhere the Bible says, Joshua, hey, I want to give you a little promise. Now, you get up and you march out. Every place that the sole of your foot touches, I'm going to give you. I can see him going out. He stepped him off a 10 by 10 square. He said, now if I could just have this little piece of land, wouldn't it be wonderful? I got me 10 foot square right in the promised land. I'm going to get right out in the middle of it and holler, it's mine! It's mine! But Joshua started out that morning and says, now he said, everywhere that the sole of my foot touched, I don't know how much ground I can cover today, but I promise you I'm going to cover some today. Hallelujah. After a while, he stopped and looked at his sundial and he said, well, you got to face a certain direction and get the proper time on the sundial. He looked down and he said, I still got 3 hours. I wonder if I can cover 5 more miles in 3 hours. No, I believe I can cover more than that. Hallelujah. He said, every place that the sole of my foot touched, he is going to give it to me. Let me tell you what. Are you satisfied to just step you off a little square and say, this is enough? Oh, no! If I can't have it in the prayer room, I'll have it in the hall. If I can't have it in the hall, I'll get in the auditorium. If it's not enough down here, I'll get up there. Hallelujah. If it's a sound, it don't matter with me. If it's on the piano, I'll sit down over there and I'll tickle the ivories a little bit. I'm going to have something, but I'm not going to sit down on a little fist off there and not get what God wants me to have. This time, you gave me a mountain.
This is not something that I heard on a tape. This is not something that someone shared with me. As preachers sometimes said and share things. But I was praying. I was laying in my trailer. Not too long ago. And before daylight, the Lord woke me up. And He started speaking to me. And I grabbed my pen and said, "Hold up just a minute, Lord." I jumped up and I ran. Grabbed me a piece of paper and a pencil. And I started writing. This time, You gave me a mountain. And I'm not talking about a trial that I can't come over. I'm talking about blessings that I almost can't handle. Brother Wallace, there's nothing that God won't withhold from you or anybody else in this place. Hallelujah. We've just got to step out and say, "God, I'm tired. I'm tired of being in here like this. I've got to have the open spaces. I've got to have more. There's got to be such a move of God in my life that when I walk in, I want to walk down, Joe. I want to get a hold of someone's hand." And they said, "Whoa! Lord, you turn me loose. What in the world has happened to you?" Hallelujah. I don't want to do it just for show. But when someone walks by me, they can say, "Boy, you can tell he's been to the prayer room." Hallelujah. And you walk to this pulpit. And when you walk to this pulpit, Brother Odom, it won't be a doubt as to where you've been. Hallelujah. Or the singers walk to the front and they begin to sing and you can feel the glory of God. They hadn't been in some little old bitty keyed up room just trying to get themselves down perfect. But when they lift up their voice, they want to sing as unto the Lord and not as unto man. It can melt out and run out and you have to wipe it out in the morning. Or it can be as a childlike faith who says, "Brother Bourne, this little growth, let God take it off." And she just rubs it off of her face and it's gone after being there all of its life. There is nothing that God won't do if we just get off that little square off area and say, "I'm going to take me a mountain." This time, it's not a Lord, it's a mountain. Hallelujah. You know what else Joshua said? He said, "Ephraim is going to take a lot of clearing. There's trees up there. You got to cut down the trees. You got to fight with the chariots. And if you want the chariots, you know, when you start fooling with someone's chariot, I like chariots. I like fast cars. I got that much boy in me. I got a 70 Camaro with a 396 in it. I don't like to spin tires. I just like, if I want to get out quick, I want to get out quick. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't always move around. Brother Wattis didn't come from Monroe on a paper airplane this evening. He said he was over there at 5 or 5:30 this evening. He wants something to get him home. I don't know if my hour's up yet or not. This time, you gave me a mountain. There are some people here tonight just wanting to break out. Hallelujah. I'm reluctant to say this, but
I hope you'll understand the spirit in which I'm saying it. I don't know if Brother Wallace even knew. It's time, but Sister Jeanette called me one morning, or one day, some couple of years ago, I guess. She said, Brother Bourne, I'm not bypassing my pastor. I've talked with him. I said, there are some needs in our life. And if God would speak to you in any fashion, would you call us? And I said, I will. But if he don't speak to me, I'm certainly not going to waste a phone call. But about 5 o'clock one morning, I woke up and I had a dream and I knew it was from God. I just reached over, got a hold of the phone, didn't even turn the light on. I just dialed Brother Wallace's number. I said, Brother Wallace, this is Brother Bourne. I got something from God. And he started weeping. He said, what is it? I said, I just dreamed that you were in prison. You were locked in. Somehow I got into where you was. And I said, get up, Tommy. I said, the guard's not looking. We're fixing to break out. And I said, and we started running. And then I got lost from you. And I didn't know what happened. And then I was running down this highway by myself. Because I was afraid they was going to get me for making this break. And all of a sudden, a big, long limousine pulled up beside me. And the front door flew open. And a man said, get in. And I said, well, this is it. They've caught me. And I got in, and that glass separating the front window from the back started rolling open. And Tommy stuck his head out. I looked and I said, Tommy Wallace, how did you get in this big, long chariot? He said, Brother Bourne, the blessings of the Lord is so great, I don't even have time to tell you about it. But he had to break out. I could tell you the rest of it. But this is as far as I feel like telling it. It goes on. But if we just get off of that lot. If we could just get out of that lot. Get away from the ordinary. Get away from what we've been used to all of our lives, and say, I'm fixing to have something different in my life, starting right now. It's not going to be 1, 2, 3, A, B, C, and as far as it goes. But I'm going to step out on the promises of God. Wants to do something for some people in this place. And he says, according to my riches. Do you believe he's rich? I preached last night in Macomb. I read a scripture, and all of a sudden I was astounded by this scripture. And Job chapter 15, verse 11, he says, are my consolations a small thing unto thee? And I said, consolations. I am the consolation of Israel. I had my own opinion of what consolation was. And I reached over and I got a little help from Mr. Webster. And when I read what consolation mean, it says, consolation is the alleviation of all mental and physical stress. And when I read that, I fell down across my desk. And I said, God, is the alleviation or the wiping out of all mental and physical stress, is that a small thing? And I said, boy, this is too big for me. I need some time on this. Because the vastness of it goes so far beyond my ability to grasp.
But what God wants to do is so much greater than I can even imagine. Why couldn't it be that there would not even be an empty front seat? And there's only four here tonight. Three. Front seat's empty. Why couldn't it be that it'd be chairs up and down the aisle and the balcony full? And the choir loft, all the choir members have to sit at the front. You say, well, this is Columbia. Sit on your lot. I know where I'm walking tonight. And I know who's walking with me. Just where are you going? His tongue hanging out. His hair messed up. His clothes wet from perspiration. I got to cover 10 more miles. And I've only got 30 more minutes. He said, every place that the sole of my foot touched, he was going to give it to me. Joshua, why don't you quit? Oh, I'm going to cover 50 square miles today. Hallelujah. He said, how can you do it? Something's got to get inside to change you. Hallelujah. Under your own power, you can't even walk across the street because you don't feel like there's any use. But when God tells you, I'm going to do something, if you'll just kind of step out over into another area of your life. Why could it not be that Tim Bourne could walk into the hospital and pray for the fevered brow and they'd be raised up immediately? Why couldn't it be that Romy Bourne could not walk into a sick room and pray for someone and they jump to their feet? Why could it not be that might go into any area and say, hey, I just come over here to tell you, God, I hear you in Jesus' name. And God, pop her up out of that bed. Cancers fall off of the side of their face. Broken legs are put back together and they walk off on their own accord. If we get off of our lot and get up on the side of the mountain, we can have more than we've ever had before. This time. This time,
you gave me a man.
Joshua would not have been so understanding in this particular area. But there was something about those mountains that meant something to him. Caleb had just come to him and said, Joshua, you remember 40 years ago when we come over here and we looked out this land. I was a lot younger then. I was only 40. I'm 80 now. But he said, I'm still well able to take that mountain. Just give me that mountain. In the 14th chapter of this same book, the Bible says that Joshua says, Caleb, if you think you're man enough to take that mountain, it's yours. Here were some younger boys that were standing around and heard old brother Caleb. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, all the rest of them were younger men. No one beyond the age of 21 years old that was in the wilderness got to go to that land. But here's some younger boys standing around and said,
down here tonight.
This is serious with me.
I pulled off my watch. I've lost track of time. Could we step out on that faith to believe that it's going to happen anyway? Sometimes, Brother William, we step out in faith and we receive things, and then other times we let the economy crisis crush us in. I can't go no further. It reminds me of a story. This man had a hot dog stand. He was doing so good. Man, the business was booming. His boy sent him off to college, and his boy come back in from college and says, "Daddy, there's a recession." He said, "What's that?" He said, "That's when everything's closing down. Business is going to go under." He said, "Well, if business is going to go under, I better cut back on ordering hot dog barns." Cut that order of wieners in half. We're in recession. The boy told me he's got a college education. He told me things were going under. First thing you know, people come to the window, "I want 6 dozen hot dogs." "Well, I ain't got but 3 dozen barns." After a while, he went under and he said, "Well, my boy's right." We could hear a calamity story that God's not moving like He used to. That's a bunch of lies hatched out of hell. Because God is moving these days. Oh, hallelujah. "This time, you gave me a mountain. I've seen brighter days. I've seen darker days. David said, I've seen problems and I've seen anxieties. But I can say one thing, I've never seen his righteous or the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." The vast expanse of our mind sometimes goes no further than what we can see with our naked eye. But the book is full of promises. He said, "If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." What did he say he would do, Brother Odom? I was preaching in Natchez several years ago. Brother Triplett, God was moving one night. There was a family there. I don't even remember their names. They brought their baby with in braces from its waist down, had never walked. I believe it was about 5 years old, maybe. And they brought this baby in. The prayer rooms were full. When they spilled out of the prayer rooms that night, 5 had already received the Holy Ghost in prayer rooms. And they spilled out of that area into the church, and it was moving. And I was preaching, and I said, "I understand someone's got a baby here with braces on." I said, "Bring it up here." They brought it up, and at that time, there was, at the old church, there was an altar right along here. And this mother, who had just received the Holy Ghost in the prayer room, walked up there, and I said, "Sit down right there, lady." She sat down, and I said, "Take those braces off." She said, "But Brother Bourne, my baby has never walked. His little legs is like dish rags that just fold up under it." I said, "Take off the braces." I said, "You fix to watch your baby walk tonight." That lady started unbuckling those braces. Tears were pouring down her face.
Every time she'd reach and unbuckle one of those braces off those little slim, skinny, bony-looking legs that were so frail. Finally, she got through. She laid them on the end of the altar. I said, now stand her up.
She caught that little baby by its arms and eased her feet down till they touched that altar. I said, now turn her loose. She started shaking her head. Brother Barnes, I can't. That's my baby, and it can't walk. I said, turn that baby loose. She turned her loose, and that baby swayed just a little bit and then straightened up. I said, come here, sweetheart. And all of a sudden, for the first time in its life, it took a step down that altar. It got to the end. I picked it up in my arms and looked around, and she was laughing. She looked back at her mama, and she hollered, and I set her back down the altar and said, go back to your mama. Right back down that altar she went. That time she was looking out at the crowd. She could walk for the first time in her life. It's time that we get out of our baby world and start moving out on the promises of God. Roman, you know what God can do if we could just get out of that little lot that we stand on. Tim, it's not a secret to what God can do. You have seen it happen. Tim's dad was preaching for us 7 months ago. He stood preaching, all of a sudden he stopped and he says, Romy, the sun's going to shine in your life. The sun's going to shine. What can that mean, the sun's going to shine? After church, Todd and T.J. come up and says, we know something. Every time my daddy says the sun's going to shine in your life, someone's going to have a baby. Y'all going to have a baby. We know it. Y'all thought you was keeping a secret. Well, they didn't even know it. But if you look 7 months later, the sun is shining in their lives. What I'm saying is, do we have confidence enough in the pulpit? Those children knew. When Daddy said that, we knew something. Because every time he's ever said it, we know what he's talking about. But when Brother Odom walks to that stand and says, I have a message from God. And they say, from God. I've heard this 1,000 times. When the man says, I've got a message from God, you better ease out on the side of your pew and say, I want to hear it. If this is from God, I want to hear it. Cup your hands over your ears and say, let me listen, Brother Odom, because I don't want to miss it. A child's world, and I am closing. A child's world is first right around its mother's dress tail. And then as it gets a little older, it goes all the way into another room. And then it comes running back and grabs a hold of mother again. Man, I've been out in another world. I went all the way in the living room by myself. And then all of a sudden, the baby walks out on the front porch by itself. Looks all around and says, boy, this is strange. Looks around and realizes mother's not there. Man, it hurries back. And it's not long, they're riding a bicycle up the block. And then around the block. The other day from the campground, I looked and saw Jonathan driving down the road by himself. I said, my Lord, he shouldn't be old enough to be doing that. But he is. Our world begins to expand. And if we don't expand with it, we get caught up in the dilemma of this is all I've got. I'm just going to stay right here. There's people living in the city of New Orleans that's never been out of the city limits, and some of them are old people. They're locked into that world. There's been people who's been raised on Pentecostal pews. I heard a man stand in the pulpit not too terrible long ago. He said, I've been raised in the church. I have never seen the dead raised. I've never seen the blind eyes open. I've never seen a miracle. I've never seen any of this. When he sat down, I said, I want to tell you what. God's not dead. I have seen it all. I said, I don't know where you're from, son.
But I said, if you want it, you got to step out of the world that you're standing in. Tonight, this world that you're living in, that 50 by 50, it's just a little old lot. But all of a sudden, today, I was working long and I said, well, Mother, I got to go out the trailer. I want to just sit and think a little bit about tonight. I've got to have something from God. And all of a sudden, I was not in Harrison County or in Mississippi or in the United States, for that matter. But I was taking a trip through the universe. And I was traveling to a city that's made by God. I said, God, I'm going to leave this place one day. I'm not satisfied with this world. I'm going to a place that we cannot even imagine what it is. This time, you gave me a mountain. Sing, Sister Odom. Brother Tim, someone.
Ellen, what God will do if we'll believe.
I wasn't kidding, Brother Duell.
There is no telling what God will do if we'll believe.
I believe God
spoke to me. Oh, He's my Savior. And this I know, He healed my body, and He saved my soul. There is no telling, oh, what God will do if we'll believe. Oh, there is no telling, oh, what God will do if we'll believe. Oh, there is no telling what God will do if we'll believe.
I know what you
do. He's my Savior, and this I know. Oh, He healed my body, and He saved my soul. There is no telling, oh, what God will do if you believe.
Everybody sing.
Oh, there is no telling, oh, what God will do.